Good evening, lovely listeners, and thanks for tuning in. This is your host, Kate, and tonight we are talking about being that couple. The one that stops talking and starts talking over and over again. Are you too forgiving, or can you just not let go of hope that things will change? Are there healthy ways to conduct this type of relationship, or is it always toxic? Join us now in Living Single Across America tonight to find out. Stay authentic, stay real. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to Living Single Across America. We are a podcast here nightly, 7 days a week at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are a company that has a foundation and mission to connect with singles across the globe for networking, real talk sessions, business building, and so much more. We would love to hear from you, our listeners, and if you have an idea or a topic you would love to talk to us about or hear us talk about, or you just want to reach out to us, please do not hesitate to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, or our website at www.livingsingle.org. Stay tuned.
Okay, everyone, welcome to the show. This is your host, Kate, and as you heard previously, our topic is how many chances is too many chances? We know a lot of people who have been there. We may have even been there ourselves. Sometimes you just get stuck on somebody. So tonight, we have a lot of special guests tonight, so I'm actually going to do a little reverse show, and I'm going to introduce our guests early on. So, we have Madison, an old friend of mine. Madison, can you say hi to everybody?
Hi.
Okay, that's Madison. I'm also here with both of my roommates. We just all moved in together. I'm here with Audrey.
Hi.
And Adriana.
Hi.
And then Alexis is here too. Say hello, Alexis.
Hi.
Everyone is very enthusiastic about tonight's show. So we're going to talk about how many chances is too many chances. So the way that we're going to do this is I'm going to share a little bit first. So I picked the topic, right? So I'm actually currently in this situation. One of the guys that I'm seeing, he's honestly great. He is like, he has a lot of good things about him. Like, we have a really strong emotional connection. And, like, I love being around him. We have a really fun time together. But, oh, Kaya, are you on here? Kaya, are you there? Okay, Kaya's not here. Sorry, guys.
Sorry,
wait,
I am here.
Okay,
yeah,
Kaya,
here.
Say hi. I introduced her. Wait, so I got to introduce you. Are you there?
Thank you for the introduction. Yes, I'm here.
Of course. Okay, we got all our girls now. So, my situation that I'm currently going through, I'm talking to this guy. He's really great. He cares about me a lot, and we've been spending, like, a decent amount of time together. But sometimes it's a struggle. I would say, like, the parts that are a little bit of a struggle is that he has, like, some drinking issues. Mainly, like, when he starts drinking, he just doesn't, like, have a stop button. And sometimes it can get, like, frustrating when you watch someone, like, continuously kind of go down, like, a path that you're not sure that they should be going down, and when it starts, like, affecting you at times. And so there's been, like, multiple times where I've, you know, cut it off or said that I'm done. And then, you know, like, 2 or 3 days later when I'm sad, he'll message me and be like, I miss you, this sucks, why are we doing this? And then I'm like, ugh, like, I do miss him, I do want to see him again, and then I meet back up with him, and then normally, I'm trying to be smart, I'm like, we're gonna spend 1 day a week together, until something, you know, X, Y, or Z improves. And then after that one day, I just, like, want to spend every day with him, and then I, like, end up seeing him again. And so it's kind of been, like, a repetitive cycle. And I guess my, like, for me, I don't actually have an answer to tonight's podcast question. Like, I think that obviously if I had the perfect answer, I would have already done it. I think that there's, like, one, there's a difference between looking at something from an outside perspective versus being inside of that perspective, right? Like, when you actually have the feelings for somebody, it's easy for you to be like, oh, we have all these special moments. Like, nobody else sees every special moment that you have with a person, right? So you have all these really great moments with this person and all these great memories, but then something goes really wrong. You immediately turn to your friends, like, listen to what this guy did to me. He sucks, you know, all of these things. And then you have, like, outside people kind of looking at you like, oh, my gosh, you're so silly. Why do you keep talking to this person? And sometimes it's just really hard to, like, describe why you're still there. It makes no sense. You're just – you're hanging on. And I think where I stand – is that it's hard for me to differentiate between giving somebody too many chances and not giving up on somebody, right? Like, those things, like, it's really hard. They can get really confused really easily because sometimes it is time to walk away. But then you wonder, like, do I walk away for me or do I stay for this person? Like, if you know that you're making a positive impact on somebody's life, maybe you're, like, one of, like, you know, a few people that are really, like, pushing this person to do better, and you recognize that if you walk away, who knows, like, maybe this person will improve, maybe they'll go down, you know, you don't know what will happen to them, but you do know that you being around is a benefit to them, then it gets, like, kind of difficult. Like, you just don't, you don't know, like, where do you draw the line, like, where does hope end and self-preservation begin? Like, it just gets really, really complicated. And so that's what I'm going to share about me, because, like I said, this, I feel like this is a story, maybe I'll tell you, you know, if I'm still doing this in a while, I'll come back and tell you how that ending goes, because for me, I haven't given up hope. I do believe that the guy that I'm seeing has a lot of potential. Like, I think that he, I don't know, I think that he, if he could just focus on the right things, that he could be incredibly successful. He's already done really incredible things. He does incredible art. Like, I'm always, like, astounded by his art. And I feel like he has so, yeah, so much potential is, like, the best way to put it. And I do believe that with the right encouragement, the right surroundings, like, he could grow immensely. Like, even now, I think to myself, like, maybe if he wasn't just in this specific situation, like, it could have gone differently. And I understand, like, that life throws you challenges, especially, like, we're talking about drinking. Like, drinking is such a center of today's, like, young culture. Like, everybody wants to go out for drinks. And it's weird to be like, I don't drink, right? People start questioning you, like, why don't you drink? What do you, like, what's wrong with you? Like, they start asking you all these questions. So when somebody says, like, hey, want to get together for dinner and drinks, sometimes people might just order a drink versus explaining it. So, like, I don't know. I guess I'm saying that I understand the pressure of today's society, and I feel like with the right surroundings and the right situation, that this man could be, like, really, really great in a lot of ways, and that I would kick myself if I didn't, like, you know, try to continue pushing him in that right direction. But it's hard because sometimes it does affect me. Like, when I'm, like, dealing with him at 2 or 3 in the morning and not, like, you know, going to sleep, like, yeah, it definitely takes a toll. But, sometimes you, like, put yourself aside to like, work with other people. So that's why I did this, because I know that a lot of the people on this call are going to share past stories that they've learned lessons from. Maybe they made mistakes. Maybe they say, no, get out early, et cetera, et cetera. But I picked this topic because I'm in the middle of it, because I have the opposite perspective of somebody who's already been through this before. So now that I've shared a little bit about my perspective, we're going to go to first break. And when we get back, we're going to hear from Madison. we're back. Welcome back, everybody. So now that I've shared a little bit about my story, we are going to move into sharing a little bit about Madison's story. So, Madison, tell us about a time when you have given too many chances.
I guess I need to pick a specific time because I feel like I've done that a lot. But one of the ones that kind of really sticks with me is a guy that I met in college. And we met through a mutual friend, and we hit it off, and things were going really well. I mean, we spent, like, every weekend together while we were at school, and we graduated, and everything was great. And then he moved back home, which was, like, 2 hours away. And then it kind of came, like, an iffy situation because we were already in this gray area of, like, oh, we're hanging out and seeing each other. But he said, like, we weren't exclusive, so I wasn't, like, his girlfriend, but we weren't seeing anybody else. So it was, like, really weird. And so we would do that for, like, a couple of months, and then I'd be like, you know what, no, like, I don't want to do this anymore because I need someone who's going to commit to me and not, like, put me in this weird space. And right. So then I would, like, we would still talk, and I would go date other people, and he would know about it, and then, like, it wouldn't work out with him, and so we'd get back together, do the same thing again, and then end it, and I'd go date somebody else, and then we'd get back together. So we did that for, like, a whole year, an entire year, and, like, we met each other's family and all that good stuff, and then I finally was just like, I can't do this. Like, oh my gosh, I really can't do this anymore. Like, this is insane. And I broke up with him because I found another guy who wanted to put in the time and the effort. And then, like, right as we were breaking up, he then decided he wanted to be with me. And told me, like, oh, I do want to be with you. And, like, I miss you. Like, please don't go to this guy. Like, he's going to be such a tool, and he's not going to treat you right, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, like, you should have said something before this when I asked you to and when I told you how I felt and you chose not to. But, yeah, so, like, we went on and off, and I gave him I don't know how many chances for, like, an entire year before I finally couldn't do it anymore.
So, wait, that last time that he said he actually wanted to be with you, you said no and went with the other guy, or you did try with him?
No, I said no and I went with the other guy.
Go you. Way to go.
It actually bit me in the ass. I mean, at the time it was like, yes, empowering. But the other guy was like a huge douchebag, so it was like, well,
but like
shit.
They all suck. Yeah. Yeah. So true. Not all of them. But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So true. Does anybody else, like, want to comment or have questions about Madison's story?
All it takes is that one douchebag to pull you out.
It really does, and it was, like, the worst because he was, like, the Chad. His name isn't Chad, but he was the Chad. Like, the bodybuilder, the chiseled abs. Like,
are you referring to The Bachelor right now?
Like seriously, no, I'm not even kidding. Yeah. Like,
no
it was crazy.
Way.
Like,
that guy is
it was
common.
It was awful, but, like, yeah. I mean, he had the looks, but he didn't have anything else.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. Do you have any other stories you want to share with us, Madison?
Well, I guess I could talk about Chad.
Yeah.
So, like, Chad and I, we'll call him Chad because he's very much a Chad. We met, like, on a dating website and, like, Bumble. Nothing exciting. And he was a couple years younger than me, which wasn't bad. He was only, like, a year or two younger than me. And, oh, my gosh, the chemistry physically between us was astounding. Like, absolutely amazing. We got along so well. And then, like, the one thing, he was so in tune with his emotions. Like, this man would cry in front of me. Actually, I shouldn't even call him a man. I should call him a boy because he was more like a toddler. But, like, he would literally just, like, break down and cry and just be like, you mean everything to me, and I'm so lucky to have you. And you're, like, you're so amazing. And, like, I fell for it hard, like, so hard. Like, this man would cry in the shower. And I was just like, oh, my gosh, he's so in tune with his emotions. And it was so bad. And, like, after, like, 3 months, like, our relationship moved super quickly. We ended up moving in together. And, yeah, like, it was, like, fine. And then, like, we moved in together and everything fell apart. Like, everything did. Like, he just stopped, like, caring. He stopped being, like, nice and sweet. And it was more, like, became, like, I was the mom and he was the kid. Because, like, his mom didn't teach him how to do anything. So he didn't know how to cook. He didn't know how to do laundry. And, like, I had to do all of those things and, like, show him how to do all of that stuff. And, like, I had to take care of, like, our, like, I guess, like, our finances. Because he didn't know how to budget, because, like, his mom was the one that, like, handled his bank account. And so, like, she would, like, had, like, the password and everything, and, like, she would transfer money out of his checking account into his savings account without him knowing.
Oh, my gosh.
And I didn't find any of this out until we moved in together. And so I would, like, we would get in these big arguments because he would just, like, I would come home and nothing would get done. Like, there was a pile of dishes. And so I was, like, coming home from work and he was, like, sitting on his ass and, like, doing nothing. And so we would get in, like, arguments about stuff and then he would, like, cry. And he'd be like, I'm really trying. I'm just so stressed out. And, like, I want to be good for you. Okay. And so, like, I kept giving him, like, so many chances. And then, like, what set it over the edge is at the time, like, my sister was learning how to drive. And she was going to come down for a weekend, and we were all going to go to Holiday World. And so, like, my sister had asked me if she could drive to Holiday World because I think we're, like, 45 minutes away. And so I was like, yeah, of course. Like, that's totally fine. Like, I can be in the car. Like, you can drive. It's not that far. And, like, I asked him that, and he flipped out, basically screamed at me, told me absolutely not, that she would not be able allowed to drive, and that if she was going to drive, then we were going to drive separately. And I told him, like, that was, like, the dumbest thing I've ever heard, and it was absolutely ridiculous, and this was the stupidest fight. And so then we get back home, and I try to talk to him about it, and he gets mad, and then, like, I go, like, he said he needed space. And so, like, prior to this, I had given him, like, so many chances. Like, we had literally been fighting, like, every week. And so I've been trying to fix it. And we broke up, shortly after we had this argument. And he was in our bedroom, and I was sitting on the couch. And I went back there. I was like, what is going on? Like, you literally flipped out for absolutely no reason, and it was the dumbest thing ever. And he was just like, why do you always have to be around me? Like, why do we always have to be together? And I was like, we live together.
We live together. Why do you always have to,
like,
be
we sleep in the same bed. Like, I don't really know what to
I
tell
live
you.
Here.
Like, exactly. I was like, okay, well, I don't really know what to do about that. Like, do you want to go sleep in the second bedroom? And so I asked him, I was like, do you even want to be together? And he was like, no, I don't think I can do this anymore. And I was like, are you serious? Like, you've got to be kidding me. And he was like, no, I'm not. Like, we fight all the time. We do nothing but fight, and it's ridiculous. And I was like, okay, well, I'm the one trying to actually work it out when you just, like, get upset, cry, and storm off. And he was just like, no, it has, like, nothing to do with that. Like, I'm really trying. He was like, it has everything to do with the fact that, like, you're just not pretty enough to be with me. And, like, you're not skinny enough to be with me. And I was like,
bro,
are
you
freaking kidding me?
Oh, he said that to you?
No, I sent you that. He literally was like, you're not pretty or skinny enough to be with me.
Oh.
Like, you've gained weight.
I've seen Madison.
You've been dating.
I can't, because I know what you look like, and you're so pretty. That's ridiculous. Like, I'm dying.
And, well, the funny part was, is, like, I, like, finally built up the confidence, and I did one of those, like, boudoir photo shoots.
Ooh.
And, like, for his birthday, and, like, made, like, a booklet and literally gave it to him the week before And, like, what I did was I put, like, the lingerie I was wearing in the box, and then I put the book on top in the hopes he'd be like, ooh, put this on for me. And he didn't even do that. That should have been, like, a huge red flag.
No.
Yeah, and so then he literally tells me all of that. And then, like, I basically kicked him out of the apartment because his parents lived 20 minutes away. I was like, get out, like, get out.
Yeah.
And so, like, he left. And then, like, I stayed with my mom for, like, a couple of days because I was like, I can't do this. Like, you are literally insane, and I cannot believe you said that to me.
Yeah.
And then, so I ended up moving out, and, like, in the process of us moving out, I mean, we had to live together for a whole month prior to me moving out. And, like,
no, wait, a whole month you stayed with, like,
yeah,
in the same place?
Yeah, because I lived 3 hours, like, I couldn't move home because I had a job, and his name, and we purposely put his name on the lease so that if we broke up, we wouldn't have to break the lease.
Oh.
And so his name was on it, and it wasn't in my name. I was, like, a guest, I guess, on the lease. And so I asked him, I was like, you should go stay, like, with your parents. They live 20 minutes away. It's closer to work for you, and I'll just stay here. And he was like, absolutely not. Like, my name's on this lease, and if anybody's leaving, you're getting out of here.
Ah, dang.
And I was
the whole thing that you did to be nice.
Yeah, I was like, are you freaking kidding me? I was like, my parents live 3 hours away and I have a job here. He was like, that's not my problem. God, you're such an asshole. And so, like, we kind of just, like, cohabitated for a while together. But then, like, you know, two people live together, things happen. And so I gave him a chance after he said all that shit to me. And he, like, started, I guess, to catch feelings again and was like, I forgot how much fun you were and, like, all this other stuff. I was like, well, apparently, like, I must be relatively attractive because you still want to be with me. And
apparently, I am attractive.
Apparently, I still got it because your little man says yes. So all I got to say. And then, like, I moved out, and he wanted me back, and he was like, I miss you so much. Like, I can't do this. And, like, I'm so lonely without you. I was like, you're only lonely because, like, you've never been by yourself before. And he was like, please don't move out. I was like, no, I'm fucking leaving. And
yeah.
So we had, like, we were intimate for, I would say, like, a month after I moved out. And then, like, finally, like, oh, and it was funny because he wanted an open relationship. He was like, yeah, like, I want an open relationship because, like, I still want to be with you, but I want to be with other people. And I was like, all right, let's see how this works. And so I agreed to it. I was like, okay, cool, whatever. And so, like, I started, like, texting people and, like, hanging out with guys and, like, all this kind of stuff. He got so mad. And he was like, I can't see you texting other guys. I was like, oh, but you can have, like, other girls. Okay, got it. Cool.
Yeah, definitely. That's crazy. Both of those stories were incredible. I'm going to go ahead and cut us to break, and then we will come back right after that. Okay, we're on break.
This is Kate with the trending news. Tonight's trending news is that there's recently been an app developed that's reducing the waste of surplus food. We all know that there are huge amounts of food thrown away at supermarkets, restaurants, cafes, and bakeries. So many uneaten meals thrown away. This app called Too Good To Go is reducing this waste. It was developed in Copenhagen, and currently 14 European countries are participating, and the food is heavily discounted at about a third of the regular price. There's been 22 million people that have downloaded this app, and we are fighting food waste through this. I cannot wait to see this in the United States. We have to be focused on fighting food waste and making sure that people can get food and not throw away perfectly good produce and meals. Back to the show.
Okay, we're back. Madison, your stories were amazing. I'm glad that you shared them. Like, yeah, that's crazy. Mid sometimes. I don't even know what to say about them. But I have another guest here who is going to share some thoughts, some stories with us. So, Adriana, hello. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy.
I'm so happy. She's so happy to be here. So, Adriana, tell us when you gave too many chances to somebody.
So I was with this girl for about 4 years, and 3 out of the 4 years, she was physically abusive. So I forgave her for every single time that she would hurt me, if it being physically or emotionally or just mentally. And to her, that was like an excuse to keep doing it every time, because I would still be there no matter how many more times she did it. I would still be there because I always forgave her and gave her a second chance. It took me ending up in the hospital to finally forgive her. I mean, not forgive her, to finally cut her off and be like, holy shit, this is like my life on the line here. But giving someone too many chances can be really toxic. Not good for you, not good for the other person, and it just doesn't end well. Yeah.
Thanks for sharing. Yeah, I definitely think that there's like a lot of different, every situation is different. I think something that we really forget about a lot is that like no two situations are the same. I just heard something that like, I think it was in the movie. It was like two wrongs can never make a right because two wrongs are never equal. And I really liked it because it's like no two situations can be like perfectly compared to each other. But yes, we know when our friends should leave a relationship. We know when they've waited too long. But sometimes, like I like to say that a lot of times I wait until I'm like 100% done in a relationship before I walk away. I'm not normally the type that's like, I'm breaking up with you and I'm getting back with you. We're together until I'm like, fully 100% never coming back to you. Like once I say that I'm single, don't expect to see me ever again. Like that's how it's going to work. So when I said at the beginning, like breaking up, coming back, like I mean the whole like, oh, I'm not talking to you anymore, come back. Like that's when you're single, right? And you're not really like exclusive maybe, right? The guy that I'm talking to currently, sometimes I'm like, I am going to take a break from you for a few weeks because we're not in a relationship, so I'm allowed to do that. But when I'm in a relationship, I'm definitely the type that's going to stick around until I'm 100% done. So it's really hard. Some people leave when they should leave. Some people wait until it's definitely, definitely, definitely time to leave. And I think there's something kind of beautiful about that. Like, we don't talk about, like, a lot of times we paint this person as, like, a girl who stayed too long, but like realistically, no, like you are a person who believes in other people. Like you are a person who thinks other people might turn it around. They made a mistake. You're forgiving. You were taught to forgive. And you do that so many times that yes, sometimes you realize that was not the person. That was not the person to invest in. And it's still really hard to know, like, do you invest in people and try to help them grow and then hope that they come around? Or do you try to find somebody who has grown already? Like when Madison said that it felt like she was mom, like I was like, I have definitely felt that way before. Like I've made jokes. Like I really didn't plan on having children yet. Like I thought that I was going to wait a few more years before I had a kid to take care of. Because sometimes it feels that way. So now, you know, we've had a few stories shared. And now I just want to ask some questions to everyone on. So we haven't heard from Alexis yet. Alexis, when do you think too many chances is too many? Like what, when do you cut it off? Or, I mean, what are your thoughts?
I think you girls are so interesting. It must be because of our age gap, or maybe because I'm just a stone cold heart, B-I-T-C-H. I don't do second chances, nor do I do third chances or fourth chances. Every situation is unique. So when you F up with me, that's it. I'm done. And I delete you off my social media. I block you off my damn phone. I never want to see your goddamn face again. And I don't do that whole let's get back together. I don't do any of that. There is a reason why I am the impatient one in my family. I don't do any of that crap. And there's a reason why everybody in my family tells me I can be a real, because I just don't do that shit.
Like, I'm one, just, like, super impressed, but I have a question. So, was there ever a point in your life when you gave people too many chances, or this has just been a lesson from day one, no chances?
I gave somebody too many chances when I was an idiot and I was a teenager, but the day I turned 18 and I was like, I didn't really have to put up with bullshit anymore. I just don't put up with bullshit because I'm the kind of person where I'm going to tell you exactly like it is, and if you don't like it, bye.
Bye. Yes, so true. See,
don't,
I mean, I would agree with
on
that.
The way out.
Yeah, don't let the door hit you on the way out. No, it's funny because I think, like, I would say in this room, like, I would say on this call, like, my guests especially, like, we all are pretty, like, somewhat outspoken, straightforward people. And I would say that I tend to tell them as well, like, just like you're saying, like, telling them straight to their face, like, I agree with you. Like, I'm very much so, like, Alexis in that sense of, like, I'm going to tell you how I feel and I'm going to tell you it, like, straight up, but that doesn't mean that I leave. So that's what Alexis has down that I don't quite, I haven't quite captured. But okay, so Alexis, do you feel like, sometimes I would say that I believe the only way that your relationship is really great is if you feel like you're growing together. Do you feel like if somebody is already kind of on top of their game that you like still feel that growth?
If somebody is already on top of their game, how I really honestly feel is there is a difference between being on top of your game and not growing in your relationship. Because a relationship is so many aspects. You're a couple, but you also have to maintain your individuality. So for me, example, I'm in a relationship with someone who's older. He already has a career. He already has his own finances. He already has been married with a child. And I'm quite the opposite, where I haven't been married and or stuff. We grow together as a couple, but we also grow together individually. So for you, every relationship is unique. You have to know what you want out of your relationship. There is a difference between just casually dating and being in it for the long haul. For me, if I'm in it for the long haul and our morals and our goals and what we want out of a relationship and or life do not match, bye. Why the hell am I wasting my damn time for?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think that could be a big part of it is, like, it depends on what, like, life step you're in. Because it's so hard for me. Like, if I'm not trying to be settled down in any relationship, then sometimes it's like, well, why do I care so much about continuing to see this guy? It's not like I'm dating him. But, like it's not like I'm exclusive to him. But at the same time, like, it can still be, like, you still have to protect your, like, I don't know, own well-being. Kaya, what do you think? What have you ever given too many chances? Like, what's your approach to these types of situations?
I'm not really, I wouldn't say I'm the type that I give that many chances. I do give second chances because I do believe in second chances. But I think I have, like, this really strict, like, two. You only get two chances with
two.
Me. And if you do both of those, and honestly, it depends on what those chances are, too. Like, I'm not going to put up with nobody disrespecting me. I'm not going to put up with nobody, you know, cheating on me. And honestly, those came with just, you know, past experiences. Or, you know, with my past relationships, like, I have been cheated on, and I have, like, if there's a possibility that you may have even cheated, or you're seeing other people while we're supposed to be exclusive, then I'm just going to let you go. because I don't want to have, like, I don't want to second guess nothing that I have going on in my life that I worked so hard for. So it's like, if I have to second guess where I stand in either, you know, with a relationship or a friendship or whatever, like I need, like Alexis said, if we're not working towards something, then bye, you know? And I feel like, you know, if you're coming in, if we're building on something, but I feel like you're not being completely honest with me. Like, I'm not going to, that's just something that I'm not going to put up with. I can't say that anybody else will. Like, for instance, that I told you guys a story about the older man. I ended up getting a call from his, you know, his girlfriend.
Yeah.
I nipped it in the butt. Like, we can be friends, you know, like, yeah, we can be friends. But other than that, like, I'm not going to try and pursue a relationship or anything like that with you. That's just one thing that I'm not going to tolerate. Not only am I not going to tolerate it, it's disrespectful, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to say I don't have the time for it, but I don't need that unnecessary stress. And I've heard that saying so many times, if you're going to do it once, you're going to do it again, because I've accepted it, I've allowed it, and so now you think that you can do it, that you're going to think that you can do it the next time. So the first time, I'm just going to sip it in the butt. Maybe you'll learn from this time and won't do it to the next person.
So that's a really good mentality. It's funny because you said when you started out with saying, I give three chances, and we were like, why three? Two, actually. Like, it's funny because I say, like, my line to men, like, my so confident line to men is like, I give second chances, but I don't give third, fourth, and fifth. So, you know, like, that's what I say right when they mess up the first time, right? And then it's stupid because I said that, but then I gave him another chance, and then I'm like, okay, we're on six, and I said that so confidently. That was funny of me. But, yeah, I think you touched on some things. You touched on, like, cheating and being disrespectful, and those are some things that I want to make sure we remember when we come back. So we're going to go to break, and then when we come back, that's what we're going to talk about next. On to break.
Thank you so much for listening to Living Single in Your City, and we are super excited about every opportunity and every door that we open. We want you to get connected. Go to our website, check out our store. We are releasing three new books very soon. One is called Cover. Living Life on the Download Has Been Exposed. The next book is called Single and Celibate. Find out more about that one. And last but definitely not least, Why Living Single and Why Now? You will find more information about our books and the discounted price for the next 30 days on our website at livingsingle.org. That's living, L-I-V-I-N, with no G, single.org. Thank you.
Okay, everyone, we're back. Check out our books for sure. So I said I wanted to touch on the cheating and being disrespectful. So what I wanted to share really quickly is that I think that, you know, the question I want to pose to everyone is what counts as a strike, right? Because I think that that's my problem too. Like, cheating, I think, is definitely a strike. If you are exclusive to each other and you're cheating, I really do. I actually haven't had that happen to me yet. But I would like to believe that when it does, there will be no more chances. That's like, I used to say cheating is second to murder, and, like, I still kind of feel that way. Like, that's just, like, why? Just break up with them. Dang. Like, it's really not that hard. And being disrespectful, like, that has many definitions. But I would say, like, if a guy's calling me the B word, if he's calling me, like, names, like, that is not acceptable. The first time that happens, I will, like, get so mad so quickly that you never want to do that again. Like, I try to put on the scariest face that I have in the book. So I think that there's, like, a lot of different things that we define as what a strike would even be. So that's my first question, and I'm going to bring it over to Ajahnay. What do you think a strike consists of? What is something you should consider enough to not forgive somebody for?
Anything that makes you feel less than yourself, because I'm all about being super confident and being super confident in who you are and doing what you do. And as soon as somebody throws you off that track of normalcy and you feel like you're questioning yourself and what you do, and no one else has brought that to your attention, then that's kind of a red flag to me, because you're making me feel like being me is not okay.
Definitely. I like that. You know, I'm all about authenticity and being yourself, being real. So I definitely agree with that. Like, when people are detracting from who you are, that's definitely a strike. What about you, Adriana?
I agree with Ajahnay, because for me, a strike would be putting me down just for, like, anything pretty much. Definitely put downs, yeah.
Yeah, put downs, like, yeah, I think that it's like, I think we all need to be more cognizant of the difference between constructive criticism and put downs. Like, you can tell somebody what they're doing wrong and what they may need to improve and how they're hurting you or how they're detracting from you without, like, destroying somebody or saying something in, like, the meanest way possible. And I think, yeah, what's that?
So my biggest thing is, like, it's most important if someone tells you criticism on their own time, like, hey, I was thinking this and that, I would like to bring this to your attention. But if someone is bringing up something that they don't like about you while you're telling them something that you don't like about them, like, you're just like, hey, this has been on my mind, I don't like what you're doing, and they're like, well, you do this and that, X that out. And that's a strike to me, because you weren't able to come to me on your own time and tell me that you didn't like this and that, but I was able to come to you right now and tell you what I don't like, and all of a sudden all of these things are coming out left and right. Like, that to me is a sort of gaslighting, because all of a sudden you have all these things you've put in your little booklet. I think it's most beneficial to just be real from the start and tell them what you don't like, and not only bring up these things when you're in conflict. Like, those types of things don't always have to be a conflict. Just because you don't like something doesn't mean it has to be an argument. People do things different ways. So you can easily have a normal conversation and compromise. But if you bring it up while you're in an argument, then that makes things way more heated, and you're never going to get to the bottom of that problem.
Definitely, yeah. Being defensive, yeah, for sure. Madison, what do you think? What's a strike to you?
For me, definitely, like, you guys hear my stories. I created, like, new strikes because I was like, enough is enough. A strike for me is, I agree with what was said about if you can't, like, communicate your feelings, that's now a strike for me. Like, if you can't tell me, like, I don't know if anybody's read the Love Languages book. So, like, if you're incapable of communicating how, like, you perceive love to me and you just simply expect me to know, like, that's a strike for me, because that to me shows, like, okay, so you can't communicate with me how you're feeling and what you need out of this relationship, then you're not going to be able to communicate at all.
Yeah, communication is so important. Communication and emotional intelligence both are really, really important. What about you, Alexis? What do you consider a strike?
Well, for me, it really depends on the relationship, because if it's with a family member, you know, there's that complication that you're related. But when it comes to my personal relationship, especially with a significant other, cheating is definitely a strike. Lying to me, depending on the severity of the lie, it's going to be a strike. I have this philosophy where I'd rather you just pull off the Band-Aid, right? You can say something to me, or you can just tell me something. I might not like what you have to say, but I just rather you tell me. I don't have the patience or the time to beat around the bush, and I just don't sugarcoat things. And, like, one of the things that a lot of people know about me is they know exactly where they stand with me. Like, I have so many relationships. I have relationships with family members. I have relationships with coworkers. I have my personal relationships. But I also have the relationships with people where I have to put up with you because I have no other damn choice. So if you happen to fall into that category, just because I smile, just because I say hi, just because I tolerate you does not mean I like you. I couldn't really give a crap about you. I'm only here because it's work or school related or life related, where I will treat you with respect and be cordial to you. But at the end of the day, or whenever it is that we're done, bye.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Like, I think you just brought a really awesome perspective into this, that we've really been talking about relationships, and we hadn't really talked about the people that are in our lives, like our family or our coworkers. Before we go to break, I want to ask Kaya. Kaya, what do you think? What is
what is a strike for you?
Ooh, a strike for me. Oh, that is a hard one. I think disrespect, like disrespect, is definitely a strike for me. Physically and not physically, abuse is a strike for me. And I say, you know, when I say disrespect, like calling me out of my name, disrespectful. If you're, it's not that many things that you can do to me that I find disrespectful. But you know, my family, you know, they're important to me too. So if you disrespect my family in any kind of, you know, in any way, depending on what it is, like for instance, I got on my very first boyfriend. When he came around my family, I thought he was kind of being disrespectful because he wouldn't speak to them, and I was like, you know, like, what the hell is wrong with you? Like, you're coming into my family. Like, don't you think you should speak? And he was like, no, like, I wouldn't expect you to, you know, talk to my family. So we just kind of talked about that. And then, you know, we just kind of came to a mutual agreement, like, okay, well, if they speak to me, then, you know, then we'll speak back, like, you know, that type of thing. So we just kind of left it at that. And that's what I mean by, like, disrespecting my family. Also, like, as far as what was my other one? Abuse. Like, I'm definitely not going to tolerate any type of abuse, whether it be physically, mentally, or emotionally, because those are real different types of abuse that, you know, kind of get swept under the rug, and a lot of people don't really know about them. So. And I have a little story on that. So I was dating this guy, and we was probably talking for about 3 months. And I had moved to San Francisco. We had kept in touch, you know, while I was out there. And then one night, there was one particular day, he had called me, and he was just like, you know, he wanted to talk on the phone. And my sister had came down, and it was me and my cousin. We were going to, you know, hang out. And he was just like, he wanted to stay on the phone. I'm like, you know, I'm getting ready to hang out with the girls. Like, I'll just talk to you tomorrow. And I could tell he was upset, but we ended up getting off the phone. So the next morning when he called me, he goes, "What did your fat ass do all night?"
Ooh.
And I'm like,
nah.
I was like, what the hell? Like, excuse me? And he was just like, "What did your fat ass?" And he repeated himself, like, "What did your fat ass do all night?" To me, that's a red flag. Ooh. It's a red flag. So.
I already said what you say, and you still repeated it yourself.
Yes, so he knew exactly what he was saying. But this is the thing. So I was upset, and I was like, you know, I don't want to talk to you anymore. Quit calling me. I literally, like, had to block him off of everything on my phone, my social media, because he was starting to harass me. And he reached out to me. He was able to reach out to me through his brother. And his brother was just like, you know, I think what he meant was, and you took it out of context. Like, he was saying, what he meant was, I have a big butt, and I took it out of context. And I was like, no, it's clever, but I'm not, but I'm not falling for it, you know?
Definitely.
So yeah,
things are serious. We need to move into break really quick, and then we'll come back and we'll finish the show up. Thanks, Kaya. On the break.
You're welcome.
Okay, and we're back. So we're going to go ahead and finish up the show with just getting everyone's last thoughts. So share with us we only have about 8 minutes left in the show. So just a brief synopsis of, you know, any other thoughts that you may have to share about maybe somebody who's going through that situation right now that's giving somebody too many chances. What do you have to say to them? We're going to go ahead and start with you, Kaya.
I would just say, you know, be careful with whoever you're dealing with, and just know what you will accept and what you won't accept as far as protecting yourself. You know, you always have to come before anything, and most of the time we do forget, but that's my advice for the night. Thank you.
Thanks, Kaya. Oh, what about you, Alexis? What do you think?
Oh, sorry, I had to unmute myself.
Okay.
I said, it really depends from person to person. Every person is different, and only you yourself can answer how many chances is too many chances for you. For me, you get 1-2 chances max. After that, I'm done. Bye.
Nice. Thanks, Alexis. And Ajahnay, what do you think?
Say, pay attention to your mental health and make sure that everything in your life is going good. Your grades are good. If you're in school, you're doing good in your job, you're making on time to work. As long as you're doing the things in your life that you need to do and you're showing up for yourself, then it's okay to be there for that other person. Now, if being for that other person is making you fall behind on being there for yourself, then you need to cut that person off because you are more important, and your relationship with yourself is furtherly more important than any relationship with anyone else in this life.
I think Ajahnay really hit the nail on the head, and that's what I want to end the show with, is just that. Madison, you're still here. Tell us what you think. What is your recap? What do you think about too many chances? What advice do you have for our listeners?
My advice would be what one of my girlfriends gave me is don't let your boyfriend block you from your husband.
Oh, I like that. Don't let your boyfriend block you from your husband. Yeah, it reminds me of, I'm like really into Grey's Anatomy. And if you guys have seen the episode where Christina tells Meredith that, like, he's not the son, you're the son. Like, she's like, don't let him block you from, like, living your full potential. And I think that's what I want to end the show on, is that when you're giving somebody too many chances, like, honestly, maybe you have just a really big heart. I like to think that's me, right? I like to think that I give a lot of chances because I really believe in people, and I think that I have the ability to help people. Like helping people is one of my, like, making a positive impact on other people's lives is, like, my favorite thing to do. And if it's my favorite thing to do, then if I'm not exclusive to that person, then, yeah, I might want to, like, talk to them and see if I can help them grow and help them gauge their potential. And even if we end up not making it, like, you know, maybe they'll make it with somebody else, and maybe they really will learn something from that experience. But it can't detract from you. Ajahnay said, don't let your job fall behind. Don't let your grades fall behind. I've had friends tell me that breakups and relationships have had them literally drop out of college before. I mean, what the emotional toll that relationships can have on us can actually completely change the direction of our life. Okay, so my advice to listeners is write down your goals, write down what you want to do, write down your dreams, and evaluate mostly on that, okay? You should, even if somebody's not destroying your dreams, sometimes they're still the person you need to let go, but maybe you can experiment with chances as long as you're still going on that path and you're still pursuing what you're supposed to pursue. Don't stop in your career, don't stop in any facet doing what you are meant for because somebody else is holding you back. And many of us, I think, have probably experienced that moment where we gave chance after chance after chance or stayed too long. I'm so guilty of staying too long. Get out. We're like, oh my gosh, this is single. Like, single's cool. Like, since I've been single, I'm on a podcast. Oh my gosh, this is it. I'm like modeling. I'm just doing all these like out of the box things, event hosting that I never would have done had I not left my previous situation. And what we don't realize is that sometimes people that we see that have tons of potential may be blocking our own. So I urge the listeners to ask yourself right now, ask yourself if the person that you are thinking about, the person that you've given too many chances, would you be living your life differently? Would you be doing something else? Would you be more successful? Are there things you're not allowed to do because of this person? And if the question, if the answers to any of those are yes, then I think it's time to go. But yeah, every situation is different. I wish you all luck in figuring these types of situations out. It's hard. Even after we've been the person that gives too many chances, we do it again sometimes. So yeah, everything's situational. And I urge you to consider yourself and make sure that you're on the right path. Thank you so much for coming to tonight's show. How many chances is too many chances? I think that we've given some pretty great answers tonight. Thank you, everyone, for joining.
Thank you for tuning in to Living Single Across America. We would love to hear how you are living single in your city. So please connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and our website at www.livingsingle.org. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe for a free newsletter. Thank you. Until next time.